Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm feeling a bit warm. First Timothy chapter 2, please. Verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, it reads, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would teach us how to pray this morning. We commit our missionaries to you once again. I pray for a special anointing and empowering upon them as they prepare to return to the field of your calling. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen. The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. The New Testament church that our Lord Jesus founded is the custodian of biblical truth. The truth of the Word of God is not only its foundation, but also it's a trademark of a New Testament church. A New Testament church that upholds biblical truth will also practice that truth which it claims to believe. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first section deals with the issue of prayer. And the great apostle Paul writes to a young pastor, exhorting him to lead the people of God concerning the subject of prayer. In Matthew chapter 21, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The Lord Jesus conveyed that and clearly communicated that a trademark of his church would be a people found in prayer. A church that stands upon biblical truth will be a church that prays. Prayer is foundational in the life of a Bible-believing and Bible-practicing church. And this is the area of attention this morning, a reminder for God's people concerning the need to pray. And as we recommission our missionaries to Japan, I believe it's timely to be reminded concerning the fact that we need to be in prayer one for another. The greatest favor you can do for me is to pray for me. The greatest thing I can do for you is pray for you. And the greatest discipline you and I can do for this missionary family is to commit to pray for them. Prayer will go places that you and I will never experience. Prayer will do things that you and I could not ever imagine doing in our own strength. If we really believe in the power of prayer, surely we would pray more so. And here in verse number one, lesson number one, I'd like for us to affirm the fact that prayer needs to be a priority. That word exhort, therefore, the word exhort means to, I encourage you, therefore, first of all, that's worthy of being underlined. I have it circled in my Bible. First of all. And then the subject of prayer is clarified. The priority of prayer. We need to live our lives according to God's priorities. The Bible is full of the general will of God, where God commands us to obey and we are to simply obey. But yet, for all of us, there is a specific will for our lives. And as the Evans family prepare to go back to Japan, that is their specific will. That is what God would have them to do. And we as a sending church, as Bible-believing Christians, it's our responsibility to hold the rope, so to speak, and be at the forefront of praying for them. And I'm so thankful for the many churches of like faith and practice that support the Emmons family. But at the very top of that rope should be a strong hold, in the good sense, that relates back to the sending church, a people in prayer. In the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible makes reference to mine own vineyards have I not kept. And I think so often we can be so busy taking care of that which is good at the neglect of that which is most important, the priority of prayer. And here in verse number one, the Apostle Paul exhorts this young pastor, I encourage therefore that first of all, and then he addresses the issue of prayer, the priority of prayer. The church is a living organ, is it not? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Prayer to the church is what blood is to the human body. Life-giving. Nobody here present this morning would question the purpose and importance of organizations such as the blood bank. Unless you were JW. Yet our failure to make prayer a priority in our lives is placing a question mark concerning its priority. As blood is life-giving to the human body, so likewise prayer is life-giving in the life and ministry of the child of God. The Evans family need our prayers, first and foremost. This will empower them in the ministry. And then in verse number one, it goes on to teach us concerning the parts of prayer that all of us are to be involved in when it comes to the issue of praying one for another. The Bible makes reference to supplications. The word supplications here is in reference to making specific requests. From time to time, our missionaries will give us specific requests.
And the Bible teaches us it should be a priority in your life and in my life to pray specifically for our missionaries. That's what the word supplication is referring to. Praying for specific requests, specific needs made known. And as we seek to make prayer a priority in 2010, let's not switch off when one of the ushers deliberately reads a prayer letter. Let's tune in. Let's consider the needs that are presented by the missionary. And let's pray for them. Our missionaries need a whole lot more than just God bless the missionary. Our missionaries need a whole lot more than just placing our faith promise offering in the mission bag. Our missionaries need, you and I need the assurance of you and I that when they make the effort of writing to us and saying this is a need, that they can be guaranteed that at least this church family is going to pray specifically for them. That's what the word supplication means. To pray for specific requests. Then it goes on to read in verse number 1, the Bible uses the word prayers. This is a general word in relation to communion with God, and it deals with the issue of our attitude as we pray, that we have to pray with a spirit of worship. When the Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he began his lesson by saying the words, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name." So as we pray for our missionaries and as we pray for the Evans family specifically, as we see the charge to pray for them, we need to be mindful of their specific needs, and we need to pray for them specifically, and we need to pray with a worshipful spirit. We worship God in spirit and in truth. I'd like to think that the music program within this Bible-believing church is honorable to God, and it's an expression of worship. But may I submit to you that as we pray, we don't preach to God as we pray. We don't demand of God. We humbly bow the knee before Him, knowing that He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His needy children. And by the grace of God, we are what we are. By the grace of God, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. By the grace of God, our Savior is coming again for us. By the grace of God, He has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. By the grace of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. By the grace of God, in the Son, we have eternal life. Brethren, by the grace of God, we are alive. By the grace of God, we have life and breath this morning. And may we enter into His presence as we pray for our missionaries with a spirit worship. Then it goes on to say in verse number 1, intercessions. That deals with the issue of praying on the behalf of others. Listen to me, if the truth be known, most of us spend the majority of our prayer time praying for ourselves. And we need to be mindful of the fact that God is no man's debtor. And if you and I will focus upon praying for others, 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 you might be surprised how quickly God might answer your little request. Intercessions. We have to intercede one for another. I need you to intercede for me. You need me to intercede for you. We need to intercede one for another. And for our missionaries, we need to intercede for them. Intercessions. Then it goes on to say in verse number 1, giving of thanks. We are to pray specific requests. We are to pray with a worshipful spirit. We are to be praying one for another, but also we are to pray with a spirit of gratitude. We need to enter into God's presence as we pray with a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. And why is that so important that as we pray it? And I think one of the reasons why gratitude is so critical to an active and a influential prayer life, gratitude is so important because it helps us to focus upon what God has done. And therefore it increases our faith to trust God for greater things. My Bible teaches me be thankful in all things. And we need to thank God. We need to express gratitude to the Lord as we pray one for another. And as we pray for the Evans family, we ought to thank God for them. We ought to thank God for their faithfulness. We ought to thank God the family is intact. We ought to thank God that He has provided their needs. We need to pray with thanksgiving. At the end of verse number 1, it tells us that we are to make prayer a priority. We are to pray for all men. For all men. No exclusions. No one is outside the influence of prayer. And I think so often we underestimate the power of our prayers. We underestimate the power of praying for our missionaries. Brethren, this morning our prayers will go places you and I will never experience. Our prayers will accomplish deeds that you and I could never imagine accomplishing. And if we really believe that, then we will devote our time to prayer. Praying one for another. Prayer needs to be a priority. Prayer needs to include praying for specific requests. Worship, intercession, gratitude. We are to pray for all men. And then in verse number 2, the Bible goes on to read, for kings and for all that are in authority. The kings is in reference to those that have the higher authority. Sovereign rulers. For you and I as God's people, we need to pray for our Prime Minister, do we not? The Bible doesn't give us a choice as to whether we like him or don't like him, or whether we voted for him or did not vote for him. God tells us we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And you might have a political persuasion. I personally don't. I just have a Bible persuasion. And so ought you. And God tells us in the Word of God that we are to pray for kings and all that are in authority. How do we pray for our Prime Minister? Well, we can pray that he will grow as a Christian. He claims to be a Christian. Now, is that a coincidence? That we have a leader, the leading man of this country that openly declares to be a Christian? I thank God for that. I was given this little article concerning Mr. Rudd. It was so encouraging because it just affirmed to my heart that I believe God's answering our prayers. Mr. Rudd, a regular practicing Anglican, was asked on Fairfax Radio in Brisbane to give his single biggest argument in favour of the existence of God. Note his reply. As you know, I'm a believer. I've never pretended not to be. And I respect those that have no religious belief. It's a free country, Mr. Rudd said. For me, it's ultimately the order of the cosmos, or what I describe as the creation. You can't simply have, in my judgment, creation simply being a random event, because it is so inherently ordered. And the fact that the natural environment is being ordered where it can properly coexist over time. If you were simply reducing that to mathematical probabilities, I've got to say, it probably wouldn't have happened. So I think there is an intelligent mind at work. And all of God's people said. So thank God for that. You ought to be thankful that he was willing to say that. That our Prime Minister believes in intelligent design. For one not to believe that is a denial of intelligence, as far as I'm concerned. To me, it's either intelligent design or intelligence denied. Not using intelligence. We need to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And as we consider our missionaries going back to the field of Japan, they have responsibilities to fulfill. They are looked upon for leadership, not only within their church family, but no doubt from fellow laborers in the work. And the Bible teaches us we need to pray for those that have authority, that have responsibility. And for those of us that have delegated authority, we bear a burden to lead biblically and to lead in a Christ-honoring manner. So therefore, we need to pray one for another. And as the Evans family make their way back to Japan, we need to pray for them in their area of leadership, that they would have the wisdom of God in leading the church family, in being a good influence upon the church family. We need to pray for those in authority. Verse number 2 goes on to read, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What should accompany prayer? The Bible makes reference to a quiet and peaceable life. What's that referring to? It's simply referring to just being a good citizen. Not being loud and fussy and argumentative and disturbing, but just being a good citizen. Empowering our prayers with a life that reflects godliness, in verse 2, and honesty. Godliness is in reference to Christ-likeness. Honesty in reference to integrity, being blameless. And as we pray one for another, as we pray for all those in authority, you and I as God's people need to walk the talk, do we not? And we need to pray for the Evans family that as they go back to Japan, that God would protect them, God would hover around them, to continue to be the testimony that God will use in reaching men and women for Christ. Because at the end of the day, as we pray one for another, the ultimate end is the salvation of lost souls. Note then verses 4-6 in closing. Who will have all men to be saved? This is the context. See, if you back up in verse number 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour. What's good? What's beneficial? That's what the word good means. That which is a benefit. That which will bear fruit. What is good? And what is acceptable, pleasing in the sight of God? Let me tell you what's good and acceptable in the sight of God. You and I praying one for another. You and I living a godly life. A Christ-like life. To what end? That people might be saved. Who will have all men, not some men, all men. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, and it's God's will that for all men to be saved. And what that simply means is that when Jesus Christ shed His blood upon Mount Calvary, that blood was shed for the sins of the whole world. For every man, for every woman, for every child, and for whosoever will repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible teaches us they will be saved. Come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator, one bridge between God and men, the man, God incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself, note this, a ransom to redeem us. To deliver us. With His blood He paid the price for our sins. The sins of all. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. Jesus Christ did not shed His blood for a select few. He shed His blood for the whole world. And this is the message that must be testified in due time. And this is the message that the Evans family are commissioned to deliver. A message of salvation. A message of redemption found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But what will empower that message, brethren? Listen to me. What will empower that message? Our prayers. Our prayers. Our prayers with a godly life will empower the effect of the message. And we here at Metropolitan Baptist Church if we're serious about getting behind the Evans family we need to pray. It needs to be a priority. But it's a prayer life from a life of godliness. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Brother Tony, Sister Debbie, Benjamin, Ruth Elise, Susanna, Kiara, and even you, Malachi, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. Let's pray one for another. Let's stand.